Welcome to Torah Timecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. The Parsha this week is Parshat Truma. The Parsha commences with HaKadosh Baruch Hu inviting Moshe Rabbeinu to collect contributions from deep within the hearts of every Jew for the materials that would be used to erect the Mishkan, the place in the Midbar where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rest his Shechina within Klal Yisrael. In this Parasha, we find the myriad details, dimensions, materials, instructions for the building of the structure of the Mishkan itself and also of the Kli Kodesh, the various vessels that would reside within it. I'd like for us today to focus our conversation on what is perhaps the most famous and oft-quoted pasuk in this parasha, which is found in Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chet. Ve'asu li mikdash ve'shachanti b'socham. And you, Klal Yisrael, will create for me a mikdash. V'shachanti, and I will rest b'socham. We would think grammatically should follow b'socho. I will rest my shechina, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, within the walls of the structure, this tabernacle, that you, Klal Yisrael, will create for me. But what seems to be a grammatical inconsistency is one of the deepest messages within our lives. V'shachanti b'socham, and I will rest within them. The famous comment of Chazal, within the hearts of each and every Jew. And it is here based on this that Rav Shamshon Feil Hirsch develops a tremendous understanding of the significance of the Mishkan, which will become, of course, that of the Mikdash later in history, the significance of the Vishachanti Bisocham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu resting his Shechina within the heart of every single Jew, within us. Now, firstly, what does this mean, resting the Shechina? It's a term we as Jews throw around, but what does it feel like? What does it look like? What does it mean? Rav Hirsch defines this as the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us when we fulfill our end of the Brit that was consecrated between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That closeness is revealed in an amount of bracha, of blessing, of success that will flower within our individual lives and our national career as the people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be clear, this beautiful state does not happen because we as the Jews built a house with four walls to contain it. That seems to make no sense, that a physical structure would hold within it or contain this closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The closeness is not something that can be bottled or boxed into any one place. Further, as we always say, the universe in its vastness is not large enough to contain HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Shlomo HaMelech said in his inaugural speech at the Beit HaMikdash he built. Would we imagine that a house could hold it when the universe could not? So clearly this Hashra'at Shechinat HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not happen because we built a house to contain it. However, this phenomenon of Vishachanti Bisocham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way resting, our feeling a closeness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the heart of every single one of us, only took place once the Bayit was built. The building of the Mishkan inaugurated the possibility for this relationship to exist, where we as human beings could find a space within ourselves to accept the Shechina. Why do the two come together? And as Rav Hirsch explains, the Bayit, which is a physical structure, symbolizes in the details of its construction, in the details of the materials with which it was built, symbolizes the conditions that have to exist within our lives in order for us to achieve the state where we'd be worthy of Vishachanti Bisocham. So Vishachanti Bisocham, this Hashrat HaShechina, only happens once Ve'asuli Mikdash, we build the Mikdash, because looking at the physical structure in all of its symbolic details and the precision of every measurement and every material instructs us, informs us of some of the very important conditions we must create in our own lives to be worthy that each of us would become a personal, small Beit Hashem within our own lives. Pasuk Chet informs us of the dual process that must be enacted in our own lives, meaning in the Mishkan without walls, that is symbolized by the Mishkan that had walls. As follows. Ve'asuli migdash ve'shachanti bisocham. There is a two-step process over here, and it's reciprocal. Ve'asuli migdash outlines the obligation upon every single Jew vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we in our own lives, just as we see happened in the physical structure of the Mishkan and then in the Beit HaMikdash, we in our own lives have an obligation to sanctify every detail of our lives by living them and by navigating our time in this world according to the dictates of the mitzvot, and to actually offer up our lives on the Mizbeach, on the altar of Kiyum Torat Hashem, of observing the mitzvot of the Torah to the best of our ability. That parameter is V'asuli Mikdash, our obligation to sanctify our lives according to Ritzon Hashem. The reciprocal reaction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming towards us, is V'shachanti Bisocham. If V'asuli Mikdash spoke of our actions towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'shachanti Bisocham speaks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaction in our direction. It's the reciprocal coming close of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and of bringing Berchato Ushmirato, his blessing and his safeguarding, as something that we actually feel and experience in our own lives. And once that structure of the Mishkan stands, its very existence, its very structure, the measurements, the materials, that which was within it, all symbolize this reciprocal relationship. And so once it stands, each of us can study and model our lives upon this twofold process of V'asuli Mikdash. We dedicate or sanctify our lives towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the dictates of His Torah, and then we hope to be worthy of V'shachanti Bisocham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu resting His presence amongst us. The details of how this is done, how does a person create in their own life a V'asuli Mikdash? Well, the details are outlined at length in our parasha, where again every measurement, every dimension, every material, every crash of the hammer to form something beautiful is an instruction, is a how-to for how we apply these lessons to our own lives. So they only gave us 15 minutes. Thank you, OU. But let's attempt to give something of a taste of what we're talking about over here. First, though, an important point. We have to realize that one of the beauties of this parasha is the nedivut lev, is the generosity with which Klal Yisrael took of their wealth, of their assets, of their very own energy and labor, and dedicated it towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the building of the Mishkan. But again, as Rav Hirsch points out, let's all remember, here they are, a nation wandering in the desert. Where did all this come from? None of them had struck it rich in the stock market. The gold, the silver, the wood, the stones, all the precious matter, it all came very clearly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Once they pledged, donated it towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they then received it back in return with a bracha kfula in the form of this Hashra'at Shechina, more precious than any fabric or material known to man, where they gave from theirs, but they were giving what they had received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the first place. There's this circle here. But by giving back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what they received, it then poured down upon them with a bracha kfula, an abundance of bracha much more than anything they had given, which becomes really the pattern of our own lives throughout our time in this world, where we have the gifts HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And to the extent that we then rededicate them back up in the direction from where they came, we can then be zocha that they will create the very fertile ground upon which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will then respond with greater bracha upon us. In the words of David HaMelech, as he began preparations for the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, stated in Divrei HaYamim Aleph Chavtet Yud Dalid, Ki mimcho hakol, umiyadcha natanu lach. Everything is from you, and from your very hands we give to you. And again, we'll take just a taste of what this begins to sound like. But Rav Hirsch does speak of some of the materials that are used in the Beit HaMikdash. Most prominently, many of the most precious kelim are created from various forms of metal. The metals mentioned in this parasha are nechoshet, copper, silver, kesef, and zahav, gold. One of the defining characteristics of metal, of course, is its strength, which of course is a koach demanded of every Jew at various times in our lives. Unique to metal is that it can be purified or refined to remove impurities. And each of these metals are listed in ascending orders of how purified they can become. Nechoshet has the most impurities. Silver has the ability to become more pure. And gold, of course, can be refined to a level more so than any other metal. And these will represent the process in life where when applied heat, which is, of course, the way in which metals are purified, when we're exposed to heat, that often has the power to help us filter out within our own lives what's true from what's not, what is correct from what is crooked, what is refined and noble from what is crass. And just as these are the metals that were chosen, this is who we can become. Other defining characteristics of metal, and this is so beautiful. Metal, on the one hand, is the most malleable of materials. Metal can be formed into any shape, molded, crafted, and take any shape. Silver can become a kiddush cup, it can become an earring, it can become a candelabra for the Shabbat. Once metal is formed into a particular shape, the second characteristic is that it is yatziv. It holds that shape and doesn't change and doesn't then form itself into any other shape until, of course, extreme heat or any other violent force is exerted upon it. This is a Jew. It behooves us to be like metal that was used to the holiest purpose in the Mishkan and in the Beit HaMikdash, where we must listen out, be aware, look at our lives and try to understand who or in what form HaKadosh Baruch Hu wishes us to be. Allow the Torah to form us. Allow our circumstances to guide us. Allow Da'at Torah to tell us what our response should be. Allow ourselves to be formed in the shape that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. And once we find ourselves assuming that form, we must be yatziv. We must be steady. We must be consistent. We must hold to it. Another prominent material in the Mishkan was the atzei shittim, the wood of the cedar tree that again was used, certainly that box within the box of the Aron and in various other places. The characteristic most notable about wood, of course, is that it comes from a living organism, from a tree. Trees will represent a steady, ever-increasing growth. The shittim come from the erez, from the strongest of trees. And so again, the message to a Jew is the message of the tree, of wood that comes from the tree. The message of ever-progressing, ever-increasing, ever-flowering growth in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are a starting introduction to some of the lessons we can apply to our own lives when we become a Mishkan without walls. By looking at the details of the structure that was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, executed under the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu within the Midbar, we look and we find the instructions to how we become people who are zoche to Ve'asuli Mikdash, through the lessons of the metals, the woods, the various fabrics, the dimensions of the kelim within the Beit HaMikdash. We find the message of how a Jew sanctifies, dedicates his life towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we hope to be zocha to v'shachanti b'socham, an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's closeness within our very own lives. So again, the building of the actual structure created the model with which each Jew could apply these lessons and this direction to his own life. It's been a very long time, and none of us learning, striving, trying to grow in today's day and age have ever stepped foot into or beheld the Beit HaMikdash. Where are we? in a very, very beautiful explanation brought by the Meshech Chochma in Parshat Vayigash Memvav, Pasuk Bet. We find Vayomer Elokim li Yisrael b'maos halayla, Vayomer Yaakov Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yaakov Avinu for the second time in that parasha, and the Meshech Chochma points out that it is stressed each time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yaakov Avinu that it happened at night. And he points out that in each situation, Yaakov Avinu was about to embark into galut, into exile. And by appearing at night, that dark time, open to confusion, harder to see clearly where we're going, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was indicating to Yaakov Avinu, reassuring him that even in the galut, in the exile, which is represented by night, the Shechina would be with him. When we say the beautiful pasuk in Perek Chaf in Tehilim, Ya'ancha Hashem b'yom tzara, Yisagevcha Hashem Elokei Yaakov. We are reaching out to the God of Yaakov, the God who promised Yaakov that even begalut he would accompany him. The Meshech Chachma points out that the tefillah that's associated with Yaakov Avinu is tefillat arvit, the evening prayer, which again, the time of night, of evening, of darkness, represents the time of galut, which is characterized by the life of Yaakov Avinu. But we also know that our system of three tefillot, three prayers every day, is modeled not only by three avot, but also by the avoda in the Beit HaMikdash and the three services that took place every single day. Aravit was unique. The tamid of shacharit, the tamid of the mincha, were new offerings. The offering of Arvit was not a new offering, but rather was the service in the Beit HaMikdash where the Kohanim burned the fats or limbs of what had already been offered earlier that day. In other words, in Arvit, there was no new avodah. There was just a continuation from that which had been done earlier in the day. Says the Meshech Chochma, this correlates to a halacha of nevuah, which again, we as Galut people are not familiar with, haven't tasted nevuah. But the rule was that a Navi would only receive a divine communication within Eretz Yisrael, with the exception that a Navi could receive prophecy in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, only if he had begun as a Navi, still in Eretz Yisrael, which again is the connection for the two models or the two yesodot upon which the tefillah of Arvit is based. On the one hand, it's based on the darkness of the life of Yaakov Avinu, which represents exile. On the other hand, it's based on the burning of the fats and the limbs of the offerings that had already been offered, telling us that the connection in Galut, in the darkness of Yaakov Avinu's life, is dependent on what happened in the time that was light. The person or the nation that connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when there was a Mishkan, when there was an ability to activate an outpouring of Hashrat HaShchina through a physical structure, which informed the personal Mishkan I build in my own life. If it was begun then there is the ability to continue that connection, even in exile, even begalut. Which tells us, when we as a nation connect to this Parashat Truma, to the next Parashiyot that will continue to detail the dimensions and the activities of the Beit HaMikdash, when we connect as a nation that was once there, that continues to strive to lead and guide its life by the rules of what existed when we were once there, then just as we see from the life of Yaakov Avinu, we can continue to daven a night prayer, begalut, in exile, because we're just continuing the avoda that existed once. The nation that once saw the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifest in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, before our very eyes, there's a national memory of what once was and a vision of what can be. And as we strive towards that vision, we're hopefully trying to fulfill that which was initiated with the building of the Mishkan. Ve'asuli Mikdash, ve'shachanti b'socham.